Okay, Rabbi Yisai. Interesting halachas tonight. Really, really interesting halachas tonight. Okay, let's start with... So we're going to be discussing amongst the many questions. We're going to be discussing as to whether one may or one may not have Shabbos on the nights before this Manat HaNesim. Manat HaNesim, Shabbos before that.
The night before?
Yeah.
There's no...
Okay, we'll address that. Good, good, good. And the... question also which we could address is that we're going to speak about who exactly is exempt from fasting on the Manat HaNesim. That will also be addressed, Be'ez Hashem. And we shall be seeing also the hopefully, we should be seeing generally the restrictions of, general restrictions of what is and what is not restricted in the Manat HaNesim. Okay, let's see. So the Ramah says, I'm on the top line of Simon Tov Kuf Nun Sif Aleph. So we said that we learned yesterday in Shulchan Aruch, Kol Chayovim Leisanes, everybody's obligated to fast. But so you miss halal of those four fast days. For also, if we're together, one may not breach this halacha. Hagos says the Ramomi, Ubrois Umeinikois. However, Ubrois, pregnant women, Umeinikois, nursing women, mothers, Shemitztaro is happen, who are in a lot of agony, a lot of pain. They shouldn't fast. Now the Mishnah Berurah explains over here straight away in Zev Kotten Bey's second wide line in our editions, Miu, Tebeshor Shirotsu, that when it was accepted on Klal Yisrael that we're going to fast, the Kibla Lehen, Lesanus, Hekedu Lechatchila Lehen, so Melechatchila, pre-facto, is that the word? Pre-facto, before it was, before, when the Klal Yisrael accepted on themselves, Epso, Ipso, what does ipso mean in Latin?
I think ipso facto is the opposite of post facto. So I presume ipso facto.
Post facto is after, so ipso must be before that. Right, okay, so we're learning Latin tonight. I forgot to mention that.
Like ipso, I didn't know
that. It sounds like ipso means before, apparently.
Post facto, ipso facto.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that's the before it was accepted, or when the Kabbalah was accepted that you're not going to fast on the man of fast days, they accepted themselves with the precondition that those in those categories, they are not going to fast. So it's not leniency per se. It's not pshat that we are lenient on the Ubois and Menikois. Rather, they've never accepted on themselves to fast. Okay, correct. In Stiles Harbor. So any Sanos. Well, Fino any Mitzaros, says the Dirmoy, it tackles your words. Even if they're not in great pain and agony. They're not really obligated to fast. Pregnant and yes, and nursing mothers are not obligated to fast. Only they're often stringent to fast. That was in the Ramaz days of yesteryear. The pregnant and nursing mothers, they used to be, they want to be stringent and fast. So again, those women don't have to fast. They never accepted on themselves to fasting. Some of them were machmi if they're not in a lot of pain. For Dafka Begimel Tzomis, obviously, this is only referring to the Manat HaNesim, Aval, but Tisha B'Av. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, Mechu Yavois, Lashlim, they're obligated to make up the fast. Let us see this a little bit more in greater detail.
Is there also a certain stage?
Very good. That's what the Mishnah Berurah is going to address now. Define Moboros. Define Ubois. Define what it means, pregnancy. What does that mean exactly? So Mishnah Berurah says, if cotton gimel, Ubois Minikois, Mistabra, the Mishnah Berurah says, I think what he means is Ubois Mikri, Mishosha Hukravlad, when she starts to show. Hukravlad, but it's recognized, which is normally, well, it depends very much on the. Every woman is a bit different, but normally approximately. Yeah, I think very often 3 months, some ladies a bit before, but so it is approximately that time. Okay, the Kaminol in Vestas, like we see with regards to the Lachas of Vestas. So again, the women are exempt. The women that never took upon themselves to fast were the pregnant ladies. Finally, was recognized when she's starting to show. Mikol Mokoim. However, Efsha, it could be, says the Mishnah Berurah, that Afunu La'acha Aboim Yoim Yetzir Zevlat could be 40 days into her pregnancy. Nam Yehavah B'chlal Mu'boreis. Could be that she's also included and categorized and considered pregnant 40 days into the Yetziras Havlat. Then in Zeh, Ima Geshes Tzai, if she's uncomfortable and she's in a most comfortable, strong shape, then I'm not sure if the word suffering is the right word, because it is, you know, pregnancy after all. But when she's discomfort and not herself, from 40 days after Yetziras Havlat, she'll be exempt already from fasting. Nikah Avlad, because that's a term that we find elsewhere. When it comes to Vestas, so normally a woman has to keep her regular Vestas, days of restriction of relations to the Vestas, and normally these Vestas stop. She doesn't have to keep it once it's okay, blah. Once she's starting to show, these halachas don't apply anymore. So the Mishnah initially wants to think and suggest that perhaps it's comparable. Like over there, we go with hukah avlat. So over here also, perhaps you can go with hukah avlat. But then the Mishnah is more lenient. It says perhaps 40 days. It is undoubtedly, I think it is undoubtedly the minhag that one is making in this. And certainly 40 days before. It has been mentioned, the poskim question, what's the halacha nowadays, that it doesn't take 40 days often to know about the pregnancy. So would it be possible to be lenient in such a case? If you know before 40 days that if she knows that she's pregnant, would she be able to does she need to fast? Yes or no? And the poskim agree that she doesn't fast. She doesn't fast, even if it's a soft fake that, but in such an instance, she doesn't fast. Correct. That's correct. Absolutely correct, and well pointed out. This is all within this halacha that these ladies have never accepted themselves to fast. Okay, now the Mishnah Berurah says, a line later, he says, "Vima geshes chulsha in achmi baklal." The Mishnah Berurah says that if any pregnant lady feels that she's weak and she's shvach and she's not quite her strength, she's lenient. Now Elis Anos, the Mishnah Berurah goes on in Sifkotan Dalet and speaks about Elis Anos. He says, "For kol shekain, even more so, imuchole she ein boy sakono." Doesn't fast. Furthermore, he's not allowed to fast. Now that's a big one. That is a big one. Again, Rabbi Yisai. So we've said, Ubois, don't fast. Menikois, don't fast. Mishnah Berurah says, yeah, also a choile. Shaim bois akona, a person who is not well. Not in danger. Forget about danger. He's generally unwell. He also doesn't fast. We know this definition from Hilchas. Shabbos. Ilchus Shabbos, there's a categorization of Cholei She'en Bo Sakana. Of course, no Pikuach Nefesh, nothing. Cholei She'en Bo Sakana, we find Ilchus Shabbos got various colors, and here too we find Cholei She'en Bo Sakana doesn't fast. Men, women, whatever it is. Now, how do we define Cholei She'en Bo Sakana? And remember, the Mishnah says Cholei She'en Bo Sakana may not fast. What's a Cholei She'en Bo Sakana? Typical example will be. Yeah. Cholikul Gufoy would be one perfect example, a prototype indeed. Somebody who is, he's not well and he just needs to go to bed, not because of tiredness, because of unwellness. So only time of day they would be jumping around, running around, working, biking perhaps, yeah? So, and he's just not up to it. He's just going flat onto the bed, but then he may not fast. But not because of the fast, that the fast weakens him. No, it says he's not well. Yeah. So Tisha B'Av will be a bit different.
Why can't he
be machmir? Why can he not fast? I'm not sure that's the reason, because what if you know for sure there's no danger involved? I don't know why it's an issa. Maybe because you've got to look after your health. Maybe this issa, this halacha kicks in at if there's no mitzvah to fast, there's no inyan to fast, then you've got to just look after your body. I don't know. But I'm not sure. It's a good question. So what else? Somebody's got temperature, any slight temperature. is a cholish shem b'sakana. It's not danger if you've got a bit of, you know, a bit of a higher temperature. What else? Who else is categorized as a chole? She'en boisakona? Flu? Yeah? Pardon? A virus? What's a virus again? I was just trying to think of a virus. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so.
Fever,
yeah.
Psychiatric difficulties caused by mind control.
Somebody's got a splitting headache. So somebody, you know, a proper migraine that is really has got to lie down because he just can't function normally. That is a chole shem b'sakana. People have got a broken arm, a broken toe, a broken thing, and he's just not functioning normally because, you know, there's a chole shem b'sakana. People who are genuinely on antibiotics, the poskim agree, that's a chole shem b'sakana. Although he's much better now, he's feeling all right. He started taking the paracetamol a week ago, but he may be all right. He may be feeling all right. But generally, people agree that people who are on a course of antibiotics is considered chodesh and
b'sakana. It's nothing to do with his ability or inability.
Correct.
Even if it's nothing to do with
it, he could make it through the fast.
Some of those illnesses might make it fast.
He could make it through the fast, but aloch is that he doesn't need to fast. Yeah, he could make it through the fast. From the Mishnah's words, it's apparent that he may not fast. Ein, he says, what's the words? Osu le'ach maratzmoy. He's not to be stringent on himself. It's just it's hard to understand.
In a few hours, it'll take the paracetamol.
Yeah, and it's hard to argue that he's not chole anymore just because he's taking paracetamol. Surely, still categorized as a chole. You have dealt with the symptoms. You have numbed the nerves and the, I know, but you're still, you know, a person who's taking a paracetamol. He's not cured. He's not healed. It's been dealt with the symptoms, but it's not. So that's that. But on the other hand, I do feel that it's going quite. On the whole, I think it's quite a stringency in terms of who does need to fast. I mean, okay, I understand. Pregnant ladies don't fast. Nursing ladies don't fast. All right, okay. I understand somebody generally not well doesn't fast, but the rest of us, we've got to fast. So it is. It does show that how Chachamim looked at Hakol Chayovim Leisanos. You know, it's an obligation. We've got to fast. If everything is all right, we've got to fast. Continues the Mishnah over here. And the Mishnah now brings a fascinating chiddush. Elo shenagu lehachmir. Im chalushos niradanim lehachmir. Right. Mikol mokom. Here's the mikol mokom. I mean tzivkotn hey. Av hatzoich lechol. Even the one who needs to eat on a fast day, lo yis anek atzmo. He shouldn't bevosav yain. He shouldn't. Well, how should we translate that? Lo yis anek atzmo. He shouldn't
enjoy himself.
Indulge in pleasure by having boss of a yain. He said, oh, an incredible chiddush this, and I do not know how well known it is. So you only kifim ashetzoch. There's two halachas here, really. So one halacha is, you know, you don't fast. You don't fast. No tiredness on you. Nothing. You don't do anything wrong. You are choile. You are pregnant. You're, it's all right. You don't need to fast, but don't have fleishik. Don't go now for this fancy,
steak.
I don't know. Don't have possibly wine. Okay, no wine today. So this is the halacha of lois anek atzma possibly wine. This, by the way, fits very much the theme of why no possibly wine. Of what's the reason of fasting? Tshuva very much fits the theme of tshuva. Yeah, should that needs might be Avedis connected. But yeah, I'm saying there's certainly that
because of Avedis.
Yeah.
Because in Tanis Esther, do you find the same thing?
No, Tanis Esther not.
Someone's got a head to eat.
There's no
so
Tanis, yeah.
Yeah, so Tanis Esther, they can have steak and wine if they've got a head to eat.
I don't think there's a restriction, yeah.
Bread and water.
Not sure. I don't think there's a restriction, but I think there's an even greater chiddush, and that is something which I never picked on before, and I don't know if that's literal. I don't know if I'm being pedantic here or not, because the Mishnah says rak kefi ma shetzorich. I don't know how you read this, but literally what it means is only what he needs. Does it mean that you're only meant to eat as much as you really need? Wow, we do a lot more than that. We do a lot more than that. No. You don't.
Salad for dinner.
Salad for dinner. That's it.
Non-riding
so, day. I see. Right. Okay. Yeah. So maybe that's the way to do it. So I don't know. Like that means the in between things, in the extra. I don't know, the cakes and the biscuits and the crisps and the what?
The hearts of palm and the
celery. Yeah. Is that what he means?
Are these words
Oh, so perhaps he means, but then, yeah, it could very well be. I'm also inclined to learn perhaps like that. If that's true, that you put the comma, that you take away the comma, you read it like this. Nevertheless, you shouldn't eat meat and wine, only what you require. Means that you're allowed to have wine, you're allowed to have meat, but only as much as you require. Is that what it means? That's also a big chiddush, because then you've watered down the whole asubiyain as well. The comma that was placed over here is a recent addition. The comma, you can't pass him from this comma. So maybe. Keb Gideon, how do you learn? What does it say, number 11? What is it, number 11? Yeah, no, that's not right. That's not this. Well, how do you learn, Keb Gideon? How do you learn this?
That you should
really just try to refrain. So, don't have your second Weetabix if you need to eat. You know, I don't know. I'm just at the fourth. Yeah, I don't have your fourth. I don't know. Is that how many you need? So I don't know as many. So it's that's. I I'm unsure. I never realized those words, and I'm not sure how to read it. Brad, how did you learn it?
Sure, I don't know.
Right.
Very, yeah.
The Mishnah continues. Now it comes to chinuch. You were bothered about chinuch yesterday. Now it goes to a slightly different point, but he does speak about chinuch. All the children who have got enough sense to do more any mourning, which is quite an advanced age for a child to understand what mourning is all about. No, they don't fast. Nevertheless, roi lechanuch, but it is proper. It is appropriate. They should only eat as much as they really require. Lechem, bread, v'mayim, water. Hoshamaychel poshut, simple, basic foods. Lefi antinoik, you know, age appropriately. Kadesh is abdul matzei, but they should mourn together with the klal. Yom Kippur. Yeah, Yom Kippur, there is a bit of that. I don't recall offhand exactly what we say about Yom Kippur. Yeah.
See, that would have said that this dilemma of the Yom doesn't seem to fit with the reason of Shabbat, because Yom Kippur is a day of Shabbat, obviously.
Right.
But it's a Yom Tov, so I would have said someone that has to eat should have something befitting of a Yom Tov.
Right. Right, so in terms of Yom Kippur, yeah. How I say, children should only need as much as they need. So that's no sweets, not the blue ones, and not the pink ones, not the yellow ones, not the red ones. Because they'll manage with that. Although you could argue nowadays they don't. But it's Rakhi de Kiyo Maguf. Rakhi de Kiyo Maguf. Only as much as they really require.
What age would you say is...
What's the age of chinuch for a child for that? I don't know. It depends on the child. I would say a child that can comprehend, can understand that we have lost something, and the concept of losing something spiritual, something ruchnistic, which was lost. So what age is that? I would say, I would argue probably 9, 10 years old, not before that. I'd argue. I mean, there are some very sharp kids out there.
They might be able to understand, there's maybe something that will never understand. You can't do things that we...
Yeah, perhaps a bit younger than that. I'm not sure. I would be surprised if this, I don't know, a year two child, a year three child, not sure. So that's in terms of, but yeah, there's that concept. Yeah, now, right, that's, you want to say something?
Where did it be manchester
before?
I mean, why would someone need to eat
tops
and
yarn?
Yeah. Why would
it be?
Yeah.
There was
much.
A
yeah.
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 Maybe as a condition where the properties of meat.
Yeah. I agree with you. It's more likely to be pshat. That is, yeah. Okay, there was not much. Yeah. I mean, in terms of wine, there was no drinks besides water, beer, and wine. There was nothing else. That was the metzias. In times of Mishnais, there was, you know, to talk about all these, the drinks that was available was kinds of beers, wine, and water. There was no orange juice, no apple juice, no Coke.
Wine. Wine's still
like
So they said, so, but I think that, but nevertheless, Pashtus, I agree with, I still agree with you that Pashtus, the meaning, it's referring to that you should only have, you should only eat as much as really required.
The dish is weak, but the comma there as well.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean, you know, I don't know who. Okay. Yeah, save base, Rabbi. So we have to save base. Tzoymos halolu, those fast days, chutz me Tisha B'Av, excluding Tisha B'Av, mutorim rechitza. You're allowed to have rechitza. So showers, Rabbi, that is permitted. Showers is permitted. Shavuos of Tammuz. You're allowed to have a fast. Tzom Gedalia. Sorry, you're allowed to have a shower. Tzom Gedalia. You're allowed to have a shower. Mutorim rechitza v'sicha. Any anointing, smearing. Permitted. Neil has a sandal, leather shoes. Tashim shemitah. Relations. Ve'enzoch l'haf sigma midyoyim. You do not need to refrain from that. Midyoyim the night before. So you're allowed to do any. Ve'enzoch l'haf sigma midyoyim. And not only that, the food also. You're allowed to eat. Obviously, as we know, you're allowed to eat on the nights before the minor fast days. Now, the Mishnah Berurah Yitzchak Kotnvav, four lines from the bottom, says, Mutorim Rechitza, Tebeshor Sherotzu, Vekibla Aleim Lotzum, that when Kladit, why Taka? I mean, it is a bit bizarre, we're so used to it, but really, it's bizarre. Why do we fast from the morning? I mean, really, it makes more sense, like Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur. When does the day start? You should fast 24 hours. What is this business of fasting from the morning? So he explains, that's the answer. The Beshar, Shirotz v'kibla lehem lotzum, when Klal Yisrael took upon himself to fast, b'chol abotanius, and along those four fast days, loy kibla lehem, did not accept on themselves, shu b'choy matayinus tzibur k'tishav. They did not accept on themselves that a fast should be like Tisha B'Av. They only accept on themselves we're fasting from the morning. Perhaps to indicate the difference between Tisha B'Av and the other minor fast days. Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur are serious fast days, as it were. You got to fast by night already. And those are more slightly more minor. So there's that distinction. Therefore, Klal Yisrael only took upon themselves to fast on the morning. But because it's too much on the end to fast so much, so many days, the whole day. Uva'al nefesh yachmir. And a person, how are we going to translate that? Ba'al nefesh. Yeah, stringent person, a person who's got a more expectation on himself, should be stringent. Bechulon, all of them, come over Tisha B'Av. There you go. Here's a chumrah.
Don't keep that
chumrah. That there is a chumrah that a Baal Nefesh should be machmir, he should refrain. Oh, I want to get to the Shatzi in a minute. So the Baal Nefesh should be machmir and do it like on Tisha B'Av. Other restrictions. So other restrictions said explicitly you don't have to keep. You don't have, they don't apply by night, but the Mishnah Berurah says Habal Nefesh should be machmir. Does that mean that these
restrictions? From night time,
Bal Nefesh Shach.
And
the other Inuim. No, he's talking about the showers, the Neila Sasandal, the Sicha, all these things that they are restricted, that they should be restricted on the minor fast days. Says the Mishnah Berurah, the Shaat Tzion, exactly. Says the Mishnah Berurah, in the Shaat Tzion, Sifkot Nechaz, Achon Ayim B'Tah Askelim, the Kosh Ha'ad, the Achshav Eino, Agin Lichotz B'Gimel Tzoymos, he brings a minik. We don't have showers in the minor fast days. Because of God behind the Bahamas, you know that's with God to hot water, but cold water, have a betonia shlema the shari became so most, Vuadin Pona Vyodhraglo Bahamin, here shlema the shari. He says, yeah, it's true. There is a minute to refrain from showers in the minor fast days, but that's only if it's a hot shower. And what's also permitted is Ponov Yadovraglov. If you wash your hands, your feet, and your face, that's permitted as well. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says with regards to the minhag to be stringent. I would like to argue that nowadays this minhag doesn't exist. I think this has changed, and I didn't find it explicitly written down. But what I'm feeling, what I'm sensing, what I'm understanding, and this is the kefir niras daiti, is that we find a lot of discussion in the poskim with regards to Tisha B'Av and the 9 days generally with regards to having showers, it's a rechitza, which is a proper rechitza, not minik. It's a rechitza in the 9 days. There, the poskim go to town about the fact that nowadays the culture has changed. undoubtedly, because civilization has changed, and we've got plumbing, we've got showers at home. This wasn't like that, you know. There wasn't, you know, people needed to have a shower, a bath. They would go to the bathhouse. If you're rich, you'd go once a month. If you couldn't afford it, you'd go once a year. So that's and nowadays it's quite common. People have, you know, the daily, you know, the, every day they have a shower. So therefore, I'm sensing from the poskim there. So things have changed altogether. Therefore, if the poskim of year says the minik to be machmir, but refrain, I think this minik, I really feel this minik. I know there are people. I know there are people who are machmir, but I think it's not true to call it a minik anymore. There are some people who are machmir, but it's a chumra, and I don't think it's true to say the minik is to be machmir. No. Yeah, this is specifically with regards to rechitza. This minik that he brings is with regards to rechitza specifically. That's my thoughts. Over to you, Rabbi. So, what do you think?
Isn't there a chiluk to be made between the 9 days and the talis? 9 days is 9 days.
So
you're going to go 9 days with that. Hashem, nowadays that's
as opposed to 1 day over here, which is right. So that would be a svot to be machmir. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I still feel that the minik is not. I don't know. What do you think?
It's unusual that they're picking on the washing and not the
other Inuyim. I don't know why.
Is it because washing of all of the Inuyim is the one that causes tandem?
I mean, the Mishmur does add later that it does say Vigambinin as a sandal Yachm Mishum Chuchavidlu. He does speak about the other ones as well a little bit. Perhaps, but that's going to be a bit relative. You know, people are bothered by you know, not wearing shoes. How much are people bothered by not by doing that? So perhaps, I don't know.
People who say,
yeah, it's a good. Perhaps you could argue there should be Baal Nefesh Machmir with us. Yeah. So that's a good. It's an interesting question, which is a recognized question. Could you pick your chumras? Is a person entitled to pick his chumras? It's a very interesting question. Can you say, no, I want to be machmir with regards to eil, but I want to make it with regards to chitza, or vice versa? And that's an interesting discussion. Are you just categorized as a baal nefesh, and you have to be consistent about this, and that comes with a lot, with a big package? Or could you say, no, I'm doing all the ikra lochs and working on that. Besides that, I'm picking a couple of chumras here and there to ones which give me chizik and give me a certain motivation Yiddishkeit. Can you do that? Yes or no? That's a discussion. Interesting question. It's probably more philosophical question.
It's logical to say that a baal nefesh has to take all the chumras on where that's labeled a baal nefesh.
No, you could argue, I'm getting this coming from a clear point, and you could argue that a baal nefesh is a category of people. I'm a baal nefesh. I'm the kind of person that takes the recognized. I'm a baal nefesh. And that comes with, okay, so if you're baal nefesh, then all right, so you be a baal nefesh with pleasure. But you've got to take all these.
The concept of a chaver, for example, in regards to.
Yeah, it's a category. You want to be a baal nefesh, you've got to take the whole package. Yeah, so that would be the argument, but you could argue perhaps not. It's a very interesting discussion there. Okay, so Rabbi Yisrael, that's it for this evening. It seems to have run over time. I will not summarize this evening, but we're going to carry on, Be'ez Hashem, in good health tomorrow.